You know what time it is. It's time for Ask a Spaceman. I'm your host, Paul Sutter. You've got questions, and I've got answers. You know how the show works, but I like to repeat myself a lot. It bores people. It drives people away from the dinner table, but I can't help myself. I just like repeating myself. So let's go back. I'll repeat myself. You know how the show works. You go to Twitter or Facebook, use the hashtag AskASpaceman, send some questions and I'll answer them. You can also follow me directly on Twitter and Facebook. My name is Paul Matt Sutter, MattSutter, with a Paul out in front. You can also go to AskASpaceman.com. There you'll find the show notes. You can comment on the episodes. You can ask questions there, follow up questions. You can also email me at AskASpaceman@gmail.com. You send me questions and I answer them because we are trying for complete knowledge of time and space. And you know what? Maybe we'll get there this week. No, we won't. Never mind. But you know, we'll get a little closer this week. On the path today to complete knowledge of time and space is a question from Alex Rothberg. On Facebook, he asks, is the universe slowly dying? You know, last episode I talked about the early universe and the history of the universe, and you know what? It's time to look into the future and talk about the death of the universe. Before I go on, I should note, you may have noticed the sound may seem a little bit off. This is an on-the-road audition. I'm still in Trieste, Italy, visiting here, and I need to record my episodes, otherwise they won't get out in time, so that's kind of how life is. You may hear some background noise. It's a little noisy hotel room I have. There's scooters outside. There's some construction going on. There's a dude playing the trumpet on and off pretty much all afternoon. That's just kind of how it rolls here. So I apologize if you hear any little backgroundy noises. And I apologize that I don't have my big, fat, fancy microphone here. Actually, I don't apologize for that because I didn't want to bring it. And, you know, getting older, getting aged, turning into something else. And I mentioned in the last episode, I made a big deal about this. And if you haven't listened to the last episode, you should, because it's about the history of the universe for the past 13.8 billion years. And that's where I'm going to start this episode. So put them together and it's like a whole entire history of the universe. So this is History of the Universe Part 2 in our little cosmology themed month that we have going on here. Anyway, you would think, I mentioned this before, you would think that the universe would just pretty much stay the same for eternity, that we have stars and galaxies today, 10 billion years from now we'll have stars and galaxies, a trillion years from now we'll have stars and galaxies. Things may die, pop on and off, supernova, but new stars will form, kind of replenish it, and, you know, nothing really major happens. But observations tell us that the universe changes with time. The universe does evolve. Just like you change with time. You had a childhood, you went through puberty, it was really awkward. Now you're grown up, you're still pretty awkward, but you know, it's all right. And then you'll get older and it'll be still awkward. You're pretty much an awkward person, but you know, that has nothing to do with anything. The point is that you change and that the past history of your life looks different from the future history of your life. And the universe was different in the past. That was the whole entire last episode. And it will be different in the future. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give like the standard, quote unquote, lots of quotes here, standard, quote unquote, guess or picture of what we think the universe is going to do. This is based on our best observations, what we know most about the universe so far. And then I'll go into some alternatives and I'll talk about why we're not exactly sure what the universe is going to do, a trillion years from now. Right now, at this very moment, the moment that I am speaking to you and that you are listening to me, the universe is ruled by expansion. The universe is getting bigger and bigger every day. And in fact, that expansion is getting faster and faster every day. The expansion of the universe is accelerating because of what we call dark energy. Quote, unquote, third quote, unquote, of the episode, dark energy. We don't really know what dark energy is, and this will come along later when I talk about alternatives, because different kinds of dark energy might lead to different final stages of the universe. But right now, the expansion of the universe is accelerating, which means that faraway galaxies, galaxies at the limits of observations, are drifting away faster than us. So that's what expansion of the universe means. Every galaxy, pretty much, is getting farther away than every other galaxy. And the most distant galaxies are receding away from us, or drifting away from us, faster than the speed of light. No, this is not a problem for relativity, all right? It just isn't, and I dare you to say it is. The short version is that relativity is a measure of local stuff. So if you'll never see like a rocket ship blasting by you farther than, faster than the speed of light, but something way on the other side of the universe can have any speed it wants. Because you're really talking about different things in speed. Actually, I should devote an episode or maybe a transient special to that. So if someone wants to ask, hey, Paul Matt Sutter, why is it not a problem that stuff at the edge of the universe is flying way faster than the speed of light? Ask that question, hopefully in a more reasonable sounding voice, and I'll answer it in a transient episode. I'll dig into why that's not a problem. Anyway, because the expansion of the universe is accelerating, it means that eventually almost all galaxies will be pulled away from what we call our horizon, or our limit of our observations, because the speed of light, which allows us to see stuff, only goes so fast. And if the expansion carries a galaxy fast, farther away, faster than that speed of light, then eventually we won't see the galaxy anymore. So that kind of sucks. However, there are a few galaxies near us that won't go away, and that's because they're gravitationally bound. We're actually like kind of glued together gravitationally, and dark energy, the accelerated expansion of the universe, isn't going to be able to resist that bond. So local galaxies like Andromeda, Triangulum, the Magellanic Clouds, a few other bunch of minor galaxies all in our kind of local group, we're going to stick together. Almost like survivors clinging together on a life raft in the middle of a vast empty ocean. That's your first hint, by the way, that this is going to be a super depressing episode. The previous episode about the early universe was all full of excitement and splitting forces and atoms being created and all sorts of cool stuff. Future history of the universe is a little bit of a downer. I'm sorry. But that's just the way the universe is. So, I got to report, you know, like a newscaster, you know, reporting on a gruesome murder or something, or a horrible tragedy. You just got to put on a straight face and push through it. You know, that's the cards we've been dealt. So anyway, nearby galaxies, we're going to cling together like a life raft in the middle of the empty ocean, while all the other galaxies, will eventually recede away from our view. The galaxies that are close to us, Andromeda, Triangulum, Magellanic Clouds, etc., eventually they're going to merge with the Milky Way because we're all gravitationally bound. 5 billion years from now, Andromeda will slam into the Milky Way. Slam isn't the right word. You know, when galaxies collide, it's more of like an intermingling, not really a slamming thing going on. But anyway, over the course of billions of years, we're all going to merge together into a kind of lump. And I should note here before I go any further that the time scales I'm talking about, and I'm about to talk about, are huge. Huge, like Donald Trump, huge, like just big. All right, like the current age of the universe is like 13.8 plus or minus point something billion years. Or if you remember that episode I did about the astronomical naming conventions, this is like 13.8 giga year, just like you have gigabytes. In gigapixels or whatever, you can have giga year, billions of years, 13 giga year. And that seems like a long time. And you're right, it is a long time. But that's nothing. Nothing compared to what I'm going to talk about. The era that we live in now is, compared to the total time scale of the stuff that's going to happen, is a blink of an eye. It's nothing. The past 13 billion years, for the future history that I'm going to talk about, we're like still in the infant period. Like we haven't even begun to learn to walk yet as a universe. That's how young we are. And the numbers are going to get so big that I can't really even put it into analogy, right? It's just too big. So I'm just going to repeat the numbers, and it's going to sound huge. Like, don't worry, we'll get there. You'll see how huge we're going to get. And you just can't comprehend them. I can't comprehend these numbers. I can plug them in. I can manipulate them. I can do math with them. I can kind of understand them in certain contexts, but I can't really like grasp them, the time scales we're talking about. To give you an idea, 13 billion years, the universe has been around, closer to 14. Okay. What's a billion or 2 years for what we're about to talk about? The Earth has been around for like 4 billion years. So really, the whole entire universe isn't much older than the Earth itself. Okay, you know, I just thought I'd toss that out. Okay, so the most likely scenario of what will happen to the long-term fate of the universe based on the evidence is something called a heat death. A heat death. And it's kind of the opposite of what the name implies. It's actually like almost cooling off, or not freezing to death, but like cooling to death. So it's not a heat death, it's a cool death. But I don't get to pick names, all right, folks? Nobody listens to me when I suggest names for ideas. So we just gotta run with it. Anyway, so we talked about in the last episode, in the past, the universe was smaller and hotter and denser and more energetic because you took the same amount of stuff, crammed it into a smaller volume. Well, that means in the future, that means now the universe is big and cool. And in the future, it means it will be bigger and cooler. And that's about it. So if you just want to stop the episode now, that's fine. Basically, the universe is going to get big and cold over very, very long times. There's a few interesting things, so you should stick around for the rest of the episode. Basically, there's only so much stuff in the universe, right? There's only so many atoms. There's only so much dark matter. There's only so many people. There's only so many wedges of Parmesan cheese, which I'm trying to buy them all every time I'm here, as many as I can fit in my suitcase. There's only so much stuff. And there's only so much stuff that can clump to high enough densities to make stars, right? You got to pile a lot of stuff together in order to make a star. You got to get really dense to get that nuclear fusion going. And we talked about how 13 billion years ago, the first stars lit up. And that means we're currently in what we call the stellariferous era, or the star-making era of the universe, the era of the universe where there are stars, where stars can form, where you can clump enough stuff together at high enough densities in little pockets to make stars and to make galaxies. But you know what? The peak of the star-forming era, this stellariferous era, actually the peak happened 10 billion years ago. We're already on the downhill slope. Fewer stars are made today than they were made in the past. And that's because stuff is getting more spread out in the universe. Because dark energy is driving this accelerated expansion of the universe, stuff, it's getting harder and harder to clump and merge stuff together to ignite star formation. It's just harder. So 10 billion years ago was the peak of the star forming era, where you had the most amount of stars formed. Now there's still stars going on, new stars being born, but not as many. In the local scene for the next few billion years, the local picture, in a few billion years, the sun will turn into a red giant and it will boil the oceans and the Earth will die. All right, that's the short version. The long episode, I did an episode on this earlier in the year. And as far as the solar system goes, Mercury's orbit is already unstable, and there's a good chance we're going to just lose it in a few billion years. It'll just like get kicked out of the solar system. And as the sun changes, as it grows bigger to become a red giant, it flares up, all the orbits will become chaotic. So the planetary orbits that we're kind of used to now and the ordering, they're all going to get mixed up. So expect things to shift around. The Earth will get swallowed because that's just the way it goes. Eventually, after the sun does its red giant thing, it will turn into a white dwarf. surrounded by a planetary nebula. A white dwarf is a hot ball of carbon and oxygen. It's going to hang out like that for a very, very long time. That's the end state of our system, of our solar system. White dwarf surrounded by some few remaining planets that are all in all sorts of weird orbits. Oh yeah, and the Milky Way and Andromeda are going to collide. If that wasn't bad enough, it just gets more depressing. In about 100 billion years, so not too far away, universe is 13, 14 billion years old. In 100 billion years, galaxies outside of our local group, our little local patch of galaxies, will be too far away to ever reach. They'll be receding faster than the speed of light. So if you went on a rocket ship and powered as hard as you can, you'll never reach one of those distant galaxies. So make your travel plans soon, because in 100 billion years, that vacation destination in a distant galaxy, it's going to be too far away, folks. You won't have enough frequent flyer miles to get there. We need to jump ahead a little bit more for something interesting to happen. In 2 trillion years, like I said, the numbers are going to get big. 2 trillion years, almost all galaxies will be too far away to even be detectable. They'll just recede too far. The light will get too stretched out. We won't be able to observe them anymore. That's happening in 2 trillion years. So we won't see any other galaxies except our little local patch. And around the same time, there won't be any new stars born. There won't be enough material to clump to ignite fusion in new stars. There'll still be stars around that were born earlier, and they'll hang on for a while, but the universe is going to start to dim. The remaining galaxies that we can see are going to get dimmer and dimmer because there won't be any new bright, hot, young stars. They'll just be older stars, dimmer stars. Even the longest-lived stars, so very low-mass stars, small stars, smaller than the sun, what we call red dwarfs, they live a very long time, but even after 100 trillion years, they start to run out of fuel. So our own sun will die in 5 billion years. Some new stars will come on the scene, but in 1 or 2 trillion years, there won't be any new stars. But the longest lived ones get to live for tens of trillions of years, but after 100 trillion, all the lights go out. No more stars in the universe. The end of this stellariferous era. There's still some light. There's still be little flashes. So occasionally you might have two remnants, like neutron stars or white dwarfs, that slam into each other and ignite a supernova explosion. So you'll see little flashes, little pockets here. There's still going to be a supermassive black hole at the center of our galaxy, sucking down matter, and sometimes gas will fall in, will ignite a quasar, or accretion disk. So the hearts of the galaxies will glow. But also by then, any nearby galaxies will all merge into a single super galaxy. Then all the lights go out. There'll be little flashes in here and there. What we've entered now is what's called the degenerate era. The degenerate era is just the leftovers of stars. So when stars die, they leave behind white dwarfs. They leave behind neutron stars. They leave behind black holes. And that's all that will be. There won't be any new stars on the scene. So it'll be very dark, very dim, with these remnants floating around. And a bunch of planets and asteroids. You know, they still get to survive. In all of these objects, there's no new sources of heat. There's no fusion going on. So all of them are slowly cooling off. So the white dwarfs become what are called black dwarfs. They just cool off. And it's in this era that nothing much happens for a long, 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 long time. Right? You know, it took us 100 trillion years to shut off all the stars. But even then, it's going to take something like 10 to the 15 or 10 to the 20 years. I had to switch to exponential notation because you know, there's yada and giga and no, not giga. But there's like the little prefixes that describe this, but it just doesn't make sense anymore. So we have to go from 100 trillion years to 10 to the 15 or 10 to the 20 years. Eventually planets, if that are orbiting any of these remnants will end up being ejected because there's enough chances for nearby, getting close to other systems. So there's some gravitational instabilities. So eventually all the remaining stars, the degenerate stuff, and the planets are all going to be mixed together. There'll be no such thing as like a solar system with an object in the center orbiting by planets. They'll all be kind of scattered around. And also, the remaining clump, like the super galaxy that will be left, stars themselves can interact gravitationally and every once in a while get ejected. Just like I talked about, like Mercury is eventually has a good chance of getting ejected from the solar system. There's just enough like interactions and swing bys that every once in a while a star will get flung out. This is really rare, but when you have 10 to the 15 or 10 to the 20 years to work with, it's bound to happen. It's going to happen a lot. And so the remaining clump, the super galaxy, is actually going to kind of dissolve into a messy mess. There'll still be a big black hole at the center. The supermassive black hole will be at the center. And it'll opportunistically gobble up anything it can, but there won't be any semblance of like a galaxy anymore. Things will have scattered away, kind of dispersed in our little remaining patch of volume. On our little life raft, surrounded by absolute nothingness, things will kind of just slowly dissolve over time. Like I said, a little bit depressing, a little dark, a little dreary, but you know, this is what we're working with. What's cool about thinking about the long-term evolution of the universe is that things that have like an incredibly tiny chance of happening, if you give it enough time, it's bound to happen. Like just like the tiny odds, and I'll get to what I mean here in a second. But we're dealing with such huge timescales, such long timescales, that pretty much anything happens, at least quantum mechanically. For an example, things we like to think of as stable, like protons or neutrons or rocks, we think of as stable, but actually over time, they decay. For example, neutrons we think of as stable. In an atom, they're nice and stable, but when they're left to their own devices, they decay after about 15 minutes, actually. So if you yanked a neutron out of an atom and let it float free, in 15 minutes, a neutron decays into other stuff. You have to remember, a neutron is not a fundamental thing. It's like a bag of stuff. It's a bag of quarks and some force carriers called gluons and some other cool stuff. It's a bag, and sometimes that bag can just kind of rip itself open. But even neutrons in an atom will decay over 10 to the 34 years. So neutron stars, which are a whole bunch of neutrons together in a big giant bag, eventually neutron stars decay. Solid stuff like rocks slowly leak out atoms through a process called quantum tunneling. Quantum tunneling is this very cool fundamental thing. Basically, if you have something on one side of a wall, you can turn your head and next time you look and it's on the other side of the wall. How did it get there? Because quantum mechanics. Again, that's itself is another cool show, more on fundamental physics. If someone wants to ask me, please ask the question. I'd be happy to answer what's going on with quantum tunneling. But this means that anything that we think of as a solid is actually like a really, really slow liquid. And by slow, I mean 10 to the 34 years slow. So anything solid, planets, asteroids, they'll just slowly dissolve into their constituent atoms. Neutrons themselves will decay. Protons, that's really the only like heavy thing you've got left. Protons themselves might or might not be stable. This is an open question in theoretical physics. We think it might not be stable, but it's something like it takes like 10 to the 40 years. And so over 10 to the 40 years, a proton, which we think of as nice and stable, like I can yank a proton out of an atom, bounce it around all over the place and put it back and it's no problem at all. Give it 10 to the 40 years and the proton bag can rip itself open into its more fundamental particles. So, you know, we're talking 10 to the 40 years. any composite particles, all the nucleons, like protons and neutrons, are going to decay. So eventually you're just left with more fundamental subatomic particles, what we call leptons. Leptons are not composite particles made, they're not bags of other stuff, they're just lonely little particles. Things like electrons, things like muons, things like neutrinos, that will be left with those. Everything else would just basically have dissolved over time into these things. We'll still have photons, we'll still have light bouncing around, and we'll still have black holes, lots of black holes. That they're the only massive thing left in our universe. We're pretty sure that black holes themselves decay through a process called Hawking radiation. There may be some hints that maybe this process doesn't work. I mean, we don't fully understand what goes on with black holes anyway, especially the surface of black holes. But it seems that Hawking radiation is probably correct, which means that black holes evaporate. And after that, after 10 to the 100 years or so, that's like it. That's it. That's the universe you're left with. All the macroscopic stuff, anything big, has either dissolved or evaporated. And the entire universe is nothing but a thin soup. I wouldn't even call it a soup. It's just so thin. Of photons, which is light, and a few other subatomic particles just spread so far apart that they hardly ever interact. So like a photon could be traveling along for billions of years in this cold, dark universe, and every once in a while they say, oh, hey, an electron, and they like bounce off each other, they interact, and then they go on their separate ways for another few billion years, and then, oh, hey, another electron, and they bounce off, and that's it. That's all that's left. And all these things, like even the protons and the neutrons, have decayed. So all the anything big, even big in subatomic terms, is gone. And what's left, the photons, the leptons, whatever dark matter is made of, all this stuff is just spread thinly throughout the universe, and it's just cooling off forever. And so that's where we get the idea of what we call the heat death, where there's no temperature differences left anywhere in the universe. Like right now, there's places that are hotter than other places. Like the sun is generally hotter than the earth. One place is hotter than the other. This room is starting to feel like it's as hot as the sun because there's no air conditioning and I had to shut the windows to keep the noise out. But you get the idea. There's hotter places and colder places. But if you're not generating any more heat, if there's no nuclear fusion, there's no radioactivity, there's no gravitational collapse that can heat stuff up through friction or anything, there's no more heat differences. One patch of the universe is just as hot or just as cold as any other patch. And if there's no heat differences anywhere, then you can't do any work, any thermodynamic work, which means life is impossible, which means computation is impossible, which just basically nothing can really happen. And that's the heat death. Really the cold death, but if you want to call it the heat death, that's fine. The heat death of the universe is the long term, and I really mean like 10 to the 100, 1,000 years, long-term evolution of the universe, the final state. It just kind of glides down into this slow coolness. And that's the end of what we call the dark era. Like I mentioned before, right now we're in the stellariferous era, the star-making era. It will be followed by the degenerate era, where you're just left with the remnants of stars. Eventually, those will either disintegrate or dissolve or do whatever, and all you're left with are black holes. So then we've entered the black hole era. Finally, all the black holes evaporate, and there's nothing left, really nothing left, and that's the dark era. Not to be confused with the dark ages, which is an epoch in the very early universe, where before stars were born. This is long after stars are born. So yeah, kind of depressing, I would say. But that's the picture we're painting, that eventually the long-term fate of the universe is a heat death in the dark era. So sleep tight. tight tonight, kids. Oh, but okay. That is the general picture before I go. That is the general picture, but there are some alternatives. And alternatives like what's called the Big Crunch. The Big Crunch is like we're in an expanding universe, but then it slows expansion, it stops, it reverses, everything comes crashing in. Maybe it bounces and there's a new Big Bang. Maybe it just collapses back into singularity, and who the heck knows what happens there if you listen to the last episode. This picture was, you know, in vogue for a while, but it seems unlikely because of dark energy. Because dark energy is accelerating the expansion of the universe, it doesn't seem likely that it's going to slow down, at least anytime soon. Another alternative, it's called eternal inflation. You remember from last episode, and if you haven't listened to last episode, you really ought to, because it was a great episode. There was this moment in the early universe called inflation, where the universe underwent a rapid expansion, like insanely fast expansion, got 10 to the 28 times bigger in less than a second. Like, that's really big. In the inflation model, our little patch of the universe, the, like all the galaxies and stars that we see, is just one little patch of a much, much larger universe. And what's outside, what we can see, is just more stuff. And all these little patches are completely independent from each other. Like, you'll never be able to reach another patch of the universe. And they're all evolving separately. And they all kind of encountered this inflation event or ended their inflation event at different times. So even though our little patch might die in a heat death, at the same time that, say, we're entering the degenerate era or the dark era far into the future, another little patch, even the patch right next door, might just be ending inflation and entering its star forming era. And then when that one dies, you know, maybe another patch down the road, across the creek, over the holler or whatever, is entering its star forming era. So even though we might die, the whole entire universe is continuously living on. So I guess that's a comforting thought, that even though our patch of the universe will enter old age and slowly decay and die, that there's always something interesting happening somewhere. You may not be able to reach that somewhere, but at least, you know, you can be assured that something cool is happening. Another alternative is what's called false decay. Again, this ties back into the last episode where we talked about the very early universe. It's interesting, all these parallels. Things that we learn about the very early universe feed into the long-term fate of the universe. That's pretty cool symmetry there. Anyway, I talked about when the universe cooled off when it was very young, it was starting to cool off, that the fundamental forces of nature used to be all bound together in a single force, and that as it cooled off, they kind of branched off, like gravity branches off, strong nuclear branches off, then a weak nuclear force branches off, and you're left with the four forces of nature that we see today. But maybe like the branching off wasn't quite complete. So let's say in the very early universe, the super hot, all the forces are combined. That's an unstable state. Like, you're balanced on your tiptoes at the top of a hill. And as the universe cools off and expands, you start falling down the hill, and you're falling down the hill, and these forces are branching off, finding like a more stable state, a more stable configuration. And maybe we didn't make it all the way down the hill. Maybe like we got stuck in like a little divot. And that's the universe we find today with our four forces and, you know, our zoo of particles and everything. But maybe we're not quite done. Maybe they were not in like the really ground stable state of the forces of the universe. Maybe there's room to go. Maybe there's another splitting that could occur, a new set of particles and fields and forces that could be in the universe, but we're stuck in this little hill. But given enough time, some patch of the universe might just randomly knock itself over that little divot and tumble down the way to the bottom of the hill. And in this case, that little patch of the universe will just find itself with a new set of forces, completely unfamiliar to us, a new set of forces, a new set of particles, a new set of fields. It will be a completely different universe, completely and totally described by a different set of physics. And it could happen anywhere in the universe. It's unlikely. It's unlikely to happen, but given 10 to the 100 years, hey, it might as well happen. And who knows what's in that new universe? Completely unrecognizable. Maybe it could there could be intelligent life in there, looking at all its stars or what they call stars. It'd be totally different because it's different physics working on. And that this continually happens, or maybe not. Maybe we are the ground state, or maybe we've just got one jump to go, and then they will enter a dark era, and then that's it for real, guys. Maybe, maybe not. We don't fully understand these processes. Another alternative is called the Big Rip. The Big Rip is if dark energy isn't very well behaved. And I mean, it's not very well behaved already, but what if it's like really, really malevolent? What if it's a malcontent? What if instead of, you know how I said, let me backtrack. You know how I said before how the expansion of the universe is accelerating and eventually will carry away almost all the galaxies away from where we can see them, and we'll be stuck with our local group, our little life raft. And our gravity is enough that dark energy will never overwhelm that gravity, and we'll all like kind of hang out together on our little life raft. Well, dark energy may be powerful enough. It may be powerful enough to rip apart our local group, to drive even our nearby galaxies away from us. It may be powerful enough to pluck us off of our little life raft. It may be powerful enough to rip apart galaxies themselves, or solar systems, or stars, or planets, or people, or atoms, or protons. Dark energy could become so powerful that it's capable of ripping apart, overwhelming every other force in nature. And this is called phantom dark energy. And if this is the case, if dark energy really acts like this, then this is going to happen over the course of a few billion years. Now, that may not sound like much, but compared to the age of the universe is only a couple handfuls of billions of years old. And if it could be ripped apart in another handful or a couple handfuls of billions of years. Totally ripped apart. Compared to the heat death scenario, where we have trillions of years before we worry about anything, the Big Rip scenario is like might as well be tomorrow. And right now, we don't understand or we don't know which of these is more likely to occur, because we don't fully understand dark energy. We just don't. We don't understand dark energy, like what's causing it, but we haven't even measured the properties of dark energy very well. So we don't know if we live in a phantom dark energy universe, as cool as that sounds. Over the next 10 or 20 years, hold on to your hats, we're going to learn more, we're going to measure more about dark energy, and we'll be able to tell what kind of universe we live in. And so our knowledge of the future could drastically change depending upon what we learn about dark energy. For example, whatever's causing dark energy could decay. It could kind of fall apart. It could fizzle out like a firecracker, like over the next few billion years, and like reseed the universe with new sets of particles, and maybe like turn back on star formation or something, or you know, end the rapid accelerated expansion and start drawing the universe to contract. Maybe it is a big crunch universe after all. But we just don't know what dark energy is, and until we pin down the properties of dark energy, we can't really say for certain. This whole story that I told over this whole episode was based on what we currently know about dark energy, but that picture could change as we learn more. And that's totally fine, because if in a couple years, you know, we look back and say, oh, can you believe they all these idiots thought we lived in a big rip universe? Yeah, well, that's fine by me, because that will give me a fresh episode to talk about. You know, keep the show going. So thanks so much for listening. Sorry if the episode was a downer. Go outside, get some sunshine, play with the puppy. I don't know, do whatever makes you happy. The heat death of the universe is not something that you need to worry about or your children need to worry about. It's somebody else's problem. It's fun to think about or sad to think about, but you don't need to worry about it. So thank you so much, and thanks for those who contributed to my Fiat Physica campaign for getting this podcast started, especially Teriadore Varno. Thanks so much for checking out my other shows, realspacepodcast.com, where I talk to other scientists and educators, have a great time. Basically, we joke around, talk about their lives as people, and oh, by the way, we also talk about their work. Also, Space in Your Face on YouTube. It's a fun show where me and a couple buddies, we talk about the latest astronomy news. It's completely ad-libbed, off the cuff. We have no preparation. We just rely on what we know about space to talk about some fun stuff. It's so much such a fun show to do. I think you'll really enjoy it. Again, that's on YouTube. Look up Space in Your Face. Thanks again to Alex Rothberg for today's questions. Keep those questions coming to askaspaceman.com or askaspaceman@gmail.com, or you can find me on Facebook, Paul Matt Sutter, also on Twitter. Use the hashtag AskSpaceman or just ask me directly. I don't care, as long as I get those questions. That's all I really care about. Because you know what we're after, and next episode we'll get even closer to complete knowledge of time and space.